Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of Wild Women. Thanks for being here. I hope you enjoyed the first episode. And I did say that I was going to release these episodes monthly, but in classic Narissa form, you cannot take any of my words in relation to timing for truth, because I'm pretty unpredictable in way of timing. I'm a creative spirit at heart, so it's really just when my energy is there that I will be creating. And I felt pulled to do this topic today, so I'm jumping back on, and you can expect these episodes to flow pretty spontaneously, let's be honest. In way of timing, don't ever take my word for it, like I said. In way of me in general, just take me with a grain of salt or sugar, depending on what you need in the moment. So this second episode, I'm focusing the conversation on energy because it's very relevant to where we are right now. And I did receive a couple of messages asking for a little bit more information and conversation around the energies at play and just coming back to basics of what energy is. So we all know we have that basic understanding of soul and we have that basic understanding of body, but what we don't generally have in way of connection and awareness is what the two combined create. We generally see them as sort of separate things. You know, we talk, and the way that we are conditioned to speak about body or soul is in a separate manner. So we think of our soul as our self, you know, as our truth, as what we really are underneath this skin. And we think of this body as the thing that holds us here, you know, the thing that connects us to earth and is held in gravity. I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into what both truly represent and what they are together, which I did touch on in episode one. So your soul, your spirit, whether you want to call it spirit or soul, it's the same thing. Your spirit is, it's you and your purity. And the whole purpose of you coming to earth was to connect with the body that you are currently in, knowing that you had the capabilities to heal the body that you are in. Now, when we talk about body, we are talking about earth, because body is just purely an extension of this earth, which means that it holds everything that earth does, right? It holds both positive and negative sources of energy. It holds within it ego. It holds within it trauma and wounding. And all of this is just it's like the cauldron of what happens when you put energy in one place, you know, you mix it together, it simmers and it combines and it creates something. And the whole purpose of being in this realm is to balance energy. And if you think of yourself in your purity as a spirit, in your truth, your spirit represents positive energy, which is represented through body as love. We can feel love in way of happiness and in way of that pure connection that we feel sometimes with ourselves and generally with others, for others. This feeling is the most overwhelming and incredibly comforting and nurturing feeling that you will ever feel, because that feeling is you. So when we align that feeling of love with body, then it gives us this sense of peace and belonging. And it also gives body the sense of belonging, because it's the whole purpose of being in this body is to liberate it through our energy. And us in spirit, in our purity, is love, which is light, positive energy. An extension of love is happiness. It's just a part of love expressed a different way. And this also gives that comfort and that acknowledgement to body and gifts, like I said, earth, that positive light, because body is just an extension. So I suppose this conversation, I just wanted to touch on energy in general, because I do talk about energy all the time. And I wanted to talk about masculine and feminine energy and negative and positive energy, dark and light energy, and what they all really mean. So they're, you know, like I said, this earth is just a cauldron to hold energy. And here on earth, we have many different types of energy in way of light and dark, positive, negative, masculine, feminine, all different, and also different, I suppose, alternative ways to describe one or the other. Even when we look at masculine and feminine energy, you know, we know that masculine is symbolized through sun and feminine is symbolized through moon. So when we see that, we also can relate it to the yin and the yang symbol. And the yin and yin energy is feminine energy. Excuse me. Yin energy is the representation of the black, the dark, and masculine is the, you know, the white, the holding, the representation of the sun, of light, of white. So even in those interpretations, we can see right there that both hold their own representation of light and dark. And yin energy, feminine energy, could be seen as dark energy in its natural state of bringing what is beneath to surface. So it has an amazing ability to bring to light what has been stored away. So we can see it this way, the same way as masculine energy is this bright sun. Everything is visible, right? Everything that masculine represents is here, you know, what you are standing in right now. We're not searching left, right, back, forward. We are focusing on present. So basically where the sun touches. So I suppose many religions and cultures and, you know, us individually, we all hold our own interpretations of light and dark, positive and negative. But just like the yin-yang symbol, I want you to start to understand that both are relevant and both are neither good or bad. There's not a good energy and a bad energy. You know, we continually condition our mind in the basic language that we use to describe things. So when we call something negative and we call something positive, it creates that conditioned response that positive is good and negative is bad. But in respect to energy, both are relevant, just like the yin-yang symbol. Both are a representation of one another, and both are nothing without the other. So we need to start to recognize energy just the same way, that you are not whole unless you hold space for both, because both are relevant here. Negative and positive, light, dark, all is relevant here on earth. And again, with the light and the dark, we can see it in the symbolization of the sun and the moon, in the basic understanding that the sun comes up in the morning and the moon, you know, the moon takes over at night, that welcoming of light and then the welcoming of dark. Both are relevant, and energy in itself, all of what is here is relevant and necessary. So knowing that we are an extension of this earth, we know that we carry both light, dark, positive, negative in way of energy within us. You in your purity come from a place of love. Now let's start to call light or positive energy as love. Love energy, because that is actually what it is. If you ever want to actually understand and feel into what light energy is, all you have to do is think of love in way of the sensation that is created inside body when you feel love for another, or like I said, or when you feel for yourself. So knowing this, and knowing that we in our bodies also carry a lot of darkness. We know this in way of ego, in way of, just the constant want and need for more, the constant dissatisfaction of in life and of ourselves. All of this is a representation of darkness, and it's kind of like that whole, walking in a dark tunnel. It's just this endless journey until you hold and see light. You know, light gives you this ending, this seeing, this ability to reach into something. Whereas if we are constantly walking in dark, it's endless. It's never ending. Light gives us that sense of reaching for home and reaching to the end because it is recognized. If a light is shining at the end of a dark tunnel, it doesn't just feel welcoming and calling of home simply because it's light. It feels that way because it is calling you back to yourself, because you are of light. So it's the recognition of something that is you. Whereas the darkness, we don't recognize it naturally in our spirit, because in body it feels like you are walking this continual never-ending pathway. And that in itself symbolizes exactly what you are and what you're not. But the thing is about negative or dark energy is that it holds so many lessons in it. And this is something that we have not been taught in way of our passed down knowledge, in way of what our ancestors have forgotten. And so we have also forgotten that darkness is a teacher, and darkness holds many, many lessons in it. So in way of shadow work, that's really that sitting in your darkness, sitting in the funk and really feeling yourself there, feeling the heaviness, sitting in your loneliness, sitting in your shit and actually experiencing what is coming up for you in that place. It's really important that we learn to do that, because like I said, negative, dark, shadow, all a part of this realm. So if we can't acknowledge it, then we can't give space for light to it. The only way that we can gift light to these places that feel dark within our bodies, within our existence, and within obviously Earth as the extension of this body, is if we actually see it for what it is and acknowledge it and surrender to it and actually offer it light. Because the only way you can do that is to actually feel into what it is and how big it is and how you're going to feel light into that place. It's literally thinking of, filling up a hole. You can't just fill up a hole if you haven't seen it. You have to inspect it. You may have to measure it. You may have to get in the hole and feel the earth and recognize exactly how and what you need to fill that space. Do you need a shovel? Do you need, do you just need a spoon? You need to actually sit in it and experience it to actually be able to know how to fill it with yourself. So a lot of shadow work in terms of sitting in your own shit, that might be from your own experience in way of trauma, or it might be through ancestral connection. It might not be something that you actually understand in this experience. It may not be something that you have personally experienced in this life, in this experience, but it may be something that has been carried down from your ancestors. And that means that it's felt and kept inside body. If your ancestors died before they liberated that darkness in terms of filling it with their light, and this can, our darkness, our shadows, all seen as can be seen as trauma. If it is a traumatic holding, then if that has not been filled, then it's passed down in way of DNA. It doesn't die just because your ancestor died. Your ancestor is just the spirit in this body. You are in the same body as your ancestors were in, right? This body that you are in is a makeup of your ancestors' experiences here. Your ancestors as light are the souls that liberated this body, but if they were unable to heal those dark shadows within the body, then they are all passed down to you. And you may be feeling that. You may not have the answers as to why you feel this way, but it's there and it is relevant. And the problem with our modern idea of spirit and body is that we generally do not give light or attention to DNA in way of spirit not liberating DNA. We don't have the connection anymore. We don't have the knowledge anymore to actually make that very clear understanding that what is inside of you in way of energy may not be from your personal experience, which is why I think it's so important that we educate our children on this, that we educate our children on just the pure basis of not, you know, of really understanding that we do not have to understand everything that is within us, that is felt within us. Because that's the deconditioning that so many of us are doing now, because we have been so programmed, so heavily programmed to always need to understand things when there is so much that you will never obtain answers to. And that's just the reality. That's the reality of energy. So knowing that we have run such a long distance in terms of human evolution with ego and holding ego's hand all the time, because ego is what takes us away from sitting in that shadow. Ego keeps us in a place of constantly reaching for the understanding of when and how and why. And we know, just from what I've spoken about, that we cannot obtain all those answers because it's not all about us, right? Which is ego's whole story. It's not all about you. And when we spend our whole life trying to understand why, how it happened, when it will happen, all of these unknown questions, when we spend our life distracted in these thoughts, then we actually take away our power and our spirit's ability to heal this body. Because you don't have to understand your shadows to be able to sit in them. You just have to acknowledge them and know that when they feel and are acknowledged, then you are giving the time to actually see, measure, and understand exactly how much light you need to place there. It's not the question of can I or can't I heal this? It's just how much time? How much time do I have to put into this? How much energy do I have to put into this? Like I said, you can't know how to fill a hole if you haven't seen the hole, right? You need to know how much earth you're moving. You need to know if you need a shovel, if you need a spoon. You know, you need to know if you need to get down in that dirt, you know, feel that dirt, sit in that dirt. It's all about the surrendering to the feeling. That is so much of the healing, right? Because you're light. You already know you're capable of healing it. If you're in this body, you are capable of healing it. So it's actually just about you surrendering to what is here and then trusting, right? Trusting that you're capable of feeling it, because you are. And I'm telling you, the only reassurance you need is that you are here. It's the only reassurance you need. So that's a little debrief, I suppose, on energy and our purpose and ability to heal it. So knowing this, knowing that a lot of earth in terms of ego is not a natural part of spirit, but it is a part of earth. Earth is the realm for balance. right? It's all about the balance act between negative and positive, light and dark. And like I said, we can look at it super practically and see the way the sun rises and the sun falls and the moon rises and the moon falls. How light comes and darkness comes. Both are welcomed here. Both are balanced here. Okay? It literally balances in the circle, which is the symbol of the yin and yang. It's the symbol of cycling energy. It's the symbol of this world. Everything is in a circle. Circles represent everything here. So if you think about your life and you think about your energy in terms of where does your energy go, where does it go? Now, when I talk about energy, I'm talking about your money, right? Because that's something that you've worked for. So you've put yourself into something. You've put your time into something. You've put your soul into something. You've put your attention, you know, your mind, your time, your energy. All of this, literally, right? Through physical energy, through mental energy, through spiritual energy, doesn't matter what you do for work, for money, it is relevant, right? So this is the biggest giving of energy is through our work. So thinking about that, you know, and thinking about what you get for that. So if you get that exchange of money, you know, where does your money go to? Thinking about where your energy goes to in way of relationships, in way of emotion. Because all of these are giftings of you. All of these are examples of energy giving away of you, right? Because you are energy. So starting to think about that, what do you give in way of yourself, and knowing that work is what we do to get that exchange of money, then money is also a representation of your energy. So where does your money flow to? Where is it going to? Starting to become quite conscious of who you spend your time with. If they make you feel good, do they make your soul feel held? Is there that balance? Is there that cycling? Is there that representation of a circle in all aspects of your energy? In your money, when you give it, does it come back? In your relationships, when you give yourself, do you get back, right? In way of your emotions, when you give in to emotion, do you get that satisfaction of full? Because emotion is the biggest robber of all. It takes so much from us unknowingly, again, because we've been living such an egoic existence. So much of our time in way of distraction is given to emotion, because emotion is sabotage. Emotion is, like I said, it's the biggest distraction there'll ever be. It takes you away from sitting in your own shit, and it gives you a reason to blame others or to focus on something to pour your energy into so that you don't put that energy into yourself in terms of sitting in that hole. Sitting in that pile of dirt and feeling into your dirt, you know, feeling into your shit. So starting to become aware of what you are, right? Because your body is the holder of you and you are energy. This body also has energy constantly radiating up and through it from this earth. We, in terms of our spirit, in terms of where we direct this body, in terms of where we spend our energy, it is all cycling back through this earth. So starting to become aware and responsible with where you put your money is the most empowering decision you could ever make. Because generally we don't think about what we spend on. Often we never have enough. You know, we never have enough money. We never have enough energy. You know, it's this cycle, again, that isn't, it's not circulating for our greatest good. It's not circulating to fulfill us. It's going elsewhere, right? It's not creating that transitioning nature that is circle. So starting to think of everything in your life as a circle. If you give out, what comes back? Ask yourself that. In way of your work, in terms of money, You know, are you feeling satisfied, soulful, satisfied in your work and your offerings? Does it gift you a sense of fulfillment inside you? You know, it may pay you all the money in the world, but as we know, money does not buy happiness. Money does not buy self-worth. Money does not buy love. And all of these things are what our soul gifts us, right? When it is seen and when it is full. And money is really just, it's the biggest ego distraction and player there is, because we are conditioned, we have been conditioned into an ego existence in way of what we have learnt and what has been passed down has been a very one-sided conversation. And that is really, you see this, you know, this is the world, everything you see is yours, everything you see is real. And we know the only things that we can see are in relation to materialism in terms of what we can touch and hold, consumerism in way of what we can spend to touch and hold. We don't have the intuitive knowledge and connection, and we definitely haven't been passed down that connection and knowledge of the unseen. And the unseen, like a circle, makes up half of the seen. So we need to start giving more attention to what we can't see, because that is what creates the full. So starting to make just gentle acknowledgement to your life in way of energy and exchange. Are you being met with what you put out in way of your relationships? In way of, do you feel full? If you gift yourself to somebody, and that might be your time, that might be your energy in way of offerings, all of it, right? Any gifting of love, care, affection, materialism, all of these things are a representation of our energy. Do you get back from that person the same? If you don't, then you need to start asking the question, does this person fulfill you? Does this person make you feel held? And if they're not meeting you in your authenticity, then that's not an even exchange, right? It's not balanced. And if we are fighting and choosing to, fighting for self-worth and choosing to evolve in way of this energy, you know, this circling energy, this cycling energy, this complete circle, then we need to start rebalancing and balancing the energy in our own life. So thinking about relationships, thinking about emotion, where does your emotion, you know, go to? Example of fulfilled emotion is if we feel something, for example, grief or sadness, and we allow that emotion in terms of crying, in terms of rage, in terms of fear, all of these emotions that come through us, if we allow them to express themselves through our body in way of tears, in way of conversation, you know, all of these body releases, then when we do release them, we should feel full afterwards in way of we should feel like we have cleared space. That's an example of a positive emotional well-being, is you release something and you feel fuller because of it. We know that types of emotions that take from us, that don't create that sense of fullness, are ones in relation to ego or negative energy, and that would be, you know, anger, guilt, shame, blame, you know, all of these, jealousy, all of the smaller, you know, resentfulness, all these smaller little emotions that come off the big one. All of these actually end up taking from us, because what we do is we give energy in way of emotion to something, We give our energy to an emotion. And because it is of only negative energy, in way of you're only giving it to there, right? You're only giving it to that space. Then it doesn't fulfill us the same as, say, grief does or happiness does. Grief doesn't make us feel full, but the letting go and the releasing does, right? Because it's allowing space to feel into something that feels missing. But when we give energy to, say, anger or to shame or guilt, any of these emotions, they take from us because they generally aren't there for any other reason but to teach us, right? So they usually, before you feel the need to exchange with emotion in way of releasing, then there is usually an intuitive connection. So usually you'll get a warning from your intuition to say, you're holding something back here. For example, before we feel the need to be raging, you know, rageful, we generally will have lots of intuitive conversations come through us that say, you are abandoning yourself here, right? You're not saying what you need to say. You're not doing what you need to do to honor yourself. And when we ignore these intuitive guidances, you know, intuitive guidance that's given to us through our body from our soul, in way of intuition, then our natural way to react is through emotion. And that might be through self-destructive behaviors such as anger or, you know, lashing out to ourselves, hurting ourselves. And it's the same thing for shame and guilt, you know. There's always intuitive guidance that's given before that emotion takes place. And it will always tell us, don't abandon yourself. You need to do this. And it's only when you ignore it that emotion then comes through body. And I'd even go so far to say that shame and guilt aren't so much an emotion, right? They generally pull us into emotion. You know, in way of, like I said, it's that reaction to self through anger, or we project it out to others and blame others and push it onto others. But generally, you know, shame and guilt are the emptiest feelings ever. Not even emotion can fill shame and guilt. It doesn't matter how much anger you push towards yourself or towards somebody else, it never takes away the emptiness that is shame and guilt. And shame and guilt are the truest representation of abandoning self. So shame and guilt always come back to self-worth. And if we choose to empty ourselves rather than choose ourselves and give back to ourselves by acknowledging ourselves, then it's sort of like that energy has to go somewhere. Like I always say, it has to go somewhere. There are always consequences for where you spend your energy. And if you choose to ignore intuitive guidance that says to you, you need to stand up and say what you feel right now. You need to honor yourself by saying how you feel. That's an example, you know. You need to honor yourself by saying no. When we have these intuitive guidances given to us and we choose to ignore them, well, that energy has to go somewhere. And it's like a kick in the ass from our spirit saying, why, body? Why are you not listening to me? Why are you not listening to me? I am here to guide you into light, but you are choosing to stay in this unhealed, which is kept inside body. Because a lot of the time self-worth, you know, self-worth is not through, that's not spirit. Self-worth is from body and through body. So again, self-worth is something that you inherit in way of your connection to body here. It's not something that is just gifted through soul. You are in your purity as a soul. You are, there's nothing to prove to anybody, right? The self-worth only comes into play in this earthly realm because it's part of the balancing, right? It's part of negative and positive. So it's not a part of your spirit you're in purity. You don't have to prove yourself. You are of love. Love is everything. When you come into this realm, there are lessons to be learnt. And lessons come through choices. And we make choices every single day. So when you choose to abandon yourself because of a conditioned response, generally it's subconscious. Most people don't even realize. They know they want to say things. Most people literally, they hate on themselves and argue with themselves constantly after an event of abandoning self, because they know they should have chosen themselves. And often this plays out time and time again through life for so many people, because their spirit knows what it should be doing, that they should be saying yes, that they should be confronting things, confronting themselves. But their body is living in a very comfortable place of low self-worth. And it you know, like I always say, the mind is the biggest key. And most of us don't even understand what subconscious and conscious mind really represent, let alone how to actually implement deconstructing both of these so that everything's out on the surface, everything's on the table, so that we can recognize what we're working with. Because a lot of your responses are conditioned responses, which means they are in relation to your unhealed in-body, which is generally ancestral wounding. It's not your own experience, but most often through DNA. So, like I said, you will never understand exactly why and how this came to be, because you were not the spirit that was liberating this body when that trauma and wounding took place. You are now dealing with it because they didn't. So you just need to trust that your spirit has the capabilities to heal whatever is in this body, as long as it can trust spirit. And that is a whole journey for body. But intuition is a big one. You know, we all have intuitive guidance. We all have connection to intuition. It's whether or not we choose to listen to it. Generally, we will ignore it because it seems hard, because there is resistance in way of body. Body is resisting that guidance because body has maybe lived 100,000 years in this unhealed. So even though you as a spirit coming into this body can see that it's not serving it, that body deserves more, right? And so then you kick that intuitive guidance to body. Body has been sitting in this funk for 10,000 years, baby. Like, even though you can see it for what it is, body has lived with this wound for so long. It's taken space up inside a body for so long that it's become body. So the thought of ignoring it and literally doing something to liberate it, you know, to change it, that would be terrifying for body. So this just goes to show that depth of wounding in terms of knowing that our body is an extension of earth. This is heavy, heavy trauma that we carry in our bodies, and we make choices every single day to disown or to empower the body, or disown it more, right? To dishonor it. I could talk about this literally for days and days and days and days, but I'm a mind witch, and this is what I do. This is what I offer women. I offer women the tools necessary to literally dive into their minds and begin to dissect what this body is. What this body is. And like I said, you don't have to understand it. You just need to know where to put your light and how to put your light there, right? So knowing this, knowing that our body carries all of this energy, we need to be able to start to recognize everything as that cycle, transitioning. If you are not feeling uncomfortable, then you are not growing. I'm going to say it again. If you are not feeling uncomfortable, then you are not growing. If we think of a circle, it is constantly changing. If you think of the phases of the moon, they are constantly changing, which means that every single step you walk forward, it is a new journey, right? It's a new experience with every step. You are growing further and further and further into this circle, creating more and more and more of this sense of full. But you don't know that. You don't know that. That's just what I'm telling you, you are doing. So know that where you are walking to is full. You are walking and working towards fulfillment and a complete circle. And that is what balance is, right? That is what you are doing here. So all of those intuitive niggles that are pulling at you, all of the emotion that takes from you in way of distraction, in way of shame, in way of guilt, in way of anger, know that negative emotion, the one that takes so much of your time, the one that takes so much of your thoughts, that is trying to teach you something. It's trying to teach you something that you continue to ignore. Because if you actually saw it for what it was, it wouldn't continue to come through your mind and distract you and take of your energy and time. So give time to it. Dissect it. Where does it come from? Who were you around when that emotion came to play? What was said? What wasn't said? Start to really pull apart the ways in which these emotions come and why they are still here. If they are still here, they are not being seen. They are not being healed. And the only way you heal it is to sit in it and to start to connect with what you are not saying, what you are not doing, that is a representation of honoring yourself as a whole body, which is spirit, mind, and physical body. Yeah, it's big, but it's also exciting because when you start to constantly step into the discomfort, right, which means that everything is new, you're actually reaching for the uncomfortable, you're reaching into the things that you usually or naturally or subconsciously would shy away from. You're recognizing everything that subconsciously happens is something that is deserving of deep diving into, right? It's deserving of that further investigation. The subconscious mind is generally the keeper of conditioning. Well, it is the keeper of conditioning. Some of it is conscious. Some of it we know that we have downloaded and carried from our ancestors. But a lot of it is living just totally on autopilot in our subconscious mind. We just do certain things. We say certain things. We believe certain things. Not because it's literally our own perspective or our own identity on things, right? It's not coming from our own footprint, but rather this subconscious conditioned understanding that this is just the way it is. And so body just reacts that way. And it just does that thing. It just says that thing. But it might not actually be in any way truthful to you. So starting to become aware of this and asking yourself, what do I do that is not a true representation of myself? You can start with the very basic physical expressions of this, our work, our relationships, and then we can dive deeper. Start to really feel into the ways that we act in way of our manner and our habits. What are ours and what are not? What feels good to you and what does not? Again, negative, positive energy. It's all like, it's light, it's dark, it's yes, it's no, it's black, it's white. Like I've always said, this whole experience is black and white. There is no maybe. There is no gray, right? The only time that grey and maybe are relevant is when you are transitioning into black or white, or yes or no. And it's a short transition. It's not a long one. It's the walking into. So starting to see things this way, it's not a maybe, it's not an if, it's a yes or it's a no. The clarity is very important because the clarity is what makes you up. It's the intuitive knowing that it is right or it is wrong. And I tell you, Mother Earth runs on the same energy. There are no maybes. There is no grey. It is yes or it is no. And that's that savage nature of human spirit. It's the understanding of birth and death, of light and dark. You need to know what is right and what is wrong for you so that you can liberate yourself here. Maybe does not play a role in self-liberation. You have to be savage in your self-honoring and your self-discipline to stick to the reconstruction of yourself, which requires that deconstruction, pulling apart, recognizing, seeing yourself for all that you are, your conditioning and your truth, and then putting yourself back together with very clear understandings of what is going to be a constant, conditioned, potential subconscious memory that's going to always pull, you know, try to sort of wrangle you back into that very comfortable flow that your body may have walked for 10,000 years. Or you see your life for what it is, you deconstruct it, and then when you reconstruct it, you put plans into place so that you can stay consciously aware of where your energy goes and if it is serving you there. Do you feel that fullness? Do you get that complete circle? If you don't, reevaluate again. And you may have to reevaluate weekly. How is my life serving me in way of, is there an even exchange of energy here? Truthfully looking at that, you know, and really tapping back into intuitive guidance, you know. Am I doing the right thing? If it's no and you don't know why, it's okay to sit in it, right? And allow that process to become more clear. All right, darling people, thank you for listening. I told you I was going to give you a little insight on positive and negative or energy at play in general. But I want you to know that we're in a time of serious great transition. Divine feminine energy is represented through cycling. And although, like I said, our energy in general is wounded and wounded as a collective because of our disconnect, right, from self and healing. Because of that, we really need to push through with our awareness in way of intuitive guidance, because we all have intuition. We all know what is right and wrong in our gut instinct. We need to be using that instinct right now because we are living in this uprise of divine feminine, which means that divine feminine is now running the show. She's running the show because she's the only one capable. When we are talking about wounded energy, although divine feminine in its wounded state is very chaotic and it can turn very quickly into spiraling energy, in its healed state it's cycling, which means that it's like I've spoken about, it's that walking towards full. But when it is wounded, it can very quickly turn to a spiral, which means a never-ending circle. Regardless, she still is the only one in terms of energy to be able to bring this shit storm to an end And that's because for so long we've been living in the wounded masculine energy, divine masculine energy is very steadfast. It's like walking a straight line. It's steady. It's controlled. It's able. It's consistent. It's strong. It's all of these beautiful things that make up this, a journey forward, a constant journey. The perfect amount of fuel to keep you moving forward, one foot in front of the other. But because we've lived in a wounded state for so long, because we haven't dealt with trauma and we haven't dealt with, trapped energy and imbalanced energy in way of ego, because of that, it became very stagnant, which means it's literally like a standstill energy. It just creates dis-ease and stagnicity in way of like a dirty fucking puddle. And we've been living in that with no growth, no connection, no direction for so long. And yet we were still living unhealed. We were still continuing to live unhealed, passing more conditioning onto our ancestors. So Divine Feminine had to take over. It was the only way. Even though there was the potential of this spiral to happen, it brings everything to the surface. Divine Feminine is naturally cycling energy. So it is always pushing for growth and pushing forward. It's the only way that we can bring all of this up, because so many people don't even have awareness in way of very basic energy understanding. So to force this to the surface, to force this awakening of intuition, we have to encourage chaos. And that's where we are. That's what you're all experiencing in yourselves and in our physical world. It's our physical world is the direct reflection of our internal world. So whatever is going on inside of us in terms of this energy, in terms of this awareness, in terms of this understanding of this chaotic emotional, distraction and emotional addiction that we are all stuck in, the fact that we are so disconnected from our truth, all of this is showing itself in the chaos that is the world currently, and it's bringing everything that has been hidden up to the surface to be seen. And on a mass level, we are deconstructing. We are deconstructing. And I hope that if we can use this energy to support and fuel and guide us in way of sitting in our shit, seeing it for what it is, and then knowing we deserve more and choosing to reconstruct it so that our experience, our body, is a true reflection of our soul, which is really just here. Our soul is just here to heal and nourish and balance. If we can use this energy at play at the moment that is fueling all of us, this wild, chaotic, bringing everything up, bringing awareness to everything, if we can use that energy now, then we can rebirth. We can. But we have to be able to look inside ourselves, because everything starts with us. So thinking about that, knowing that your projection is your reflection, so everything that is in your life, everything that surrounds you, is a direct representation and reflection of yourself and who you are. Who are you? Is it a true representation and reflection to your truth, to your intuition? If it's not, how are you distracting yourself? Loving you. I know that we went deep then, but It fucking needed to be said, and you know it. And I want you all to have that deep understanding of what energy is, the black, the white, the yes, the no, the negative, the positive, and how we transition through the grey. If there is grey, if there is maybe, it is for the purpose of transitioning to light, to positivity, to full, to self-honoring. And if your life is not a true reflection of who you truly are, then you need to do some work, sister. And I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, because it's not. But you know you're not going to find fulfillment unless you sit in it and choose to reconstruct. Remember that the deconstruction is the part that your body gains trust with your spirit. So when you choose to deconstruct, you naturally give yourself this care, or you're giving body self-care, because you're giving light to the parts that have been unseen and unheld. So the deconstruction is very much the key to the rebirth, the reconstruction. Because through that deconstruction, you get to see your body for what it is, in way of what it's been holding on to. You get to see it for its capabilities, in way of its ability to be so strong, and also to release, to make space for. And it's only through that process that you actually gain the trust given by body to spirit, to allow spirit to actually drive it forward into healed. Because once you deconstruct and reconstruct, and body feels alignment with spirit, it feels good. For the first time in maybe 10,000 years, it feels good, because it feels seen, because it feels held, because it feels honored. When you reach that place, then that is the activation of human spirit, which I talk about all the time. Human spirit is alignment of body and soul, and it's actually the gift given when body trusts spirit to guide it. Because you are living in a relationship between the two. Loving you all. Thanks again for being here, episode 2. And as we move forward with this podcast, I will be sharing this space with guests. And our next guest is a dear friend of mine who I've known for a very long time. And we share very deep, intuitive, very soulful conversations all the time, organically, basically any time we come together. So my next episode will be sharing this space with this dear friend of mine. And but before then, I wanted to share this conversation, because it is so much of what I talk about and so much of what I teach. And it's important that you also hold that understanding and awareness, so that you can really feel into our future conversations together. So thank you for the insight. Thank you for the people who have messaged me about energy and wanting to know more about energy, which is what has invited this episode. And I hope that you enjoyed it, and I hope that you will stick around and continue this beautiful journey with me. Thank you for being here. Please subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and leave a review if you've enjoyed these episodes so far, so that other people can also feel into what this space is about.